Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. All Power is Given Unto Me, December 9th, 1897. Portions of this manuscript are published in VSS 233-234, RH, July 19th, 1898, July 26th, 1898. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and, lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 18-20. This is a consecrated message, commissioning all who engage in the great work under the divine head to preach the gospel to all nations, tongues, and peoples. Christ gave his life to save sinners. He himself was a substitute for the sinful race. He made an offering of himself to save men, that they might be elevated and ennobled by entering into oneness with him, partaking of the divine nature. In Christ's strength, men may go forth to the great, grand work of imparting the life-giving principles they have received to those that are perishing in their sins. Those who are called and chosen will be co-laborers with Christ. They have a part to act under the greatest educator the world has ever known. The man who is consecrated to God, sanctified by the breath of Christ, is one with Christ. He can communicate to others the instruction he has received. He can tell them that the merits of a crucified and risen Savior are our hope and crown of rejoicing. God is found of those who diligently seek Him. God's servants are not to be slothful as business. They may understand that it is their privilege and happiness to be obedient to all the requirements of God. They are to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. They are not to serve worldly interests. They are not to seek for gold and silver as their God. All their desires are to be directed heavenward. Think of what might be gained by all who would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. There is a great work before all who will do this. What a field of usefulness is open to him who will do good in this life! The words and works of him who serves God are a savor of life unto life. He may not be able to speak to congregations, but he can lead souls to Jesus. Those who fulfill Christ's commission find many souls in need of a Savior. Those who believe the truth through their word are to use their entrusted capital of intellect and wealth in God's service, individually imparting the truth to others. God has made them his stewards. They are to act in his stead. God has a controversy with him who misapplies the capabilities and powers God has given him. Souls that might have been saved are lost through his unfaithfulness, indolence, and neglect. The Pharisees could not understand why a holy teacher sent from God should eat with publicans and sinners. Why did Christ accept the invitation to eat with publicans? Because he knew that at their tables there would be sinners to be saved. In all his words, he scattered the seeds of truth. Thus the ambassadors commissioned by God are to do. They are to study how they can reach souls. They are to be found in every place where there are souls in need of a Savior. To the priests, Christ spoke words that were to live through all time. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Mark 2, verse 17. Ye make the word of God of none effect through your tradition. Ye teach for doctrines the commandments of men. Ye are both ignorant of the Scriptures and of the power of God. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. How think ye? If a man have 100 sheep, and one of them be gone astray, doth he not leave the 99, and goeth into the mountains, and seeketh that which is gone astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoiceth more of that sheep than of the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons, which need no repentance. Luke 19, verse 10, Matthew 18, verse 12-14, Luke 15, verse 7. Christ came to our world to restore the moral image of God in man. He takes human agents into co-partnership with Himself, giving them the breath of His own Spirit, the life of His own life, that they may be enlightened and have expanded ideas of what life means. To all who obtain a correct view of their duty in regard to their fellow men, Christ gives power to obtain righteousness and to do their work successfully. These breathe the atmosphere that surrounds the soul of Christ. They live the true life that Christ lived in our world. None who breathe the breath of God, receiving the Holy Spirit from Him, can be indifferent in regard to the welfare of others. Their own souls are inspired with the love of Christ, and they use their powers and capabilities in the work of presenting Bible principles. Some may tire of the warnings and appeals given them. The workers may receive no response from them. This is discouraging, but it is no more so to us than it was to Christ. There are others who have not realized that they needed to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. These become interested, inspired with hope. They believe in the One who said, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Matthew 28, verse 20. He fills their souls with His grace, and how precious to them does the light appear. How different are their attitude and words from the attitude and words of the scorner of grace. They understand the meaning of the words, "The entrance of thy word giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." They eat the bread that comes down from heaven. They are surprised that their companions turn from precious truth, which is such a valued treasure to them. Even in the infancy of their experience, they see that their companions use every device to turn souls away from hearing the word of life. If these scorners see anyone inquiring in concern, "What shall I do to be saved?" they make light of his convictions, and try by every false method to hinder him from seeking the truth as hidden treasure. From generation to generation, the enemy has been marshaling his forces against God. His enmity against the law of God has been increased and intensified. His followers are at enmity with the human being who has the moral courage to depart from evil and bear witness to the truth. They pay no respect to the divine law, but they are very strict in enforcing their human laws. They are not in harmony with God. They are not pleased or attracted by His righteousness. In their human judgment, they will condemn men and call them sinners, because they conscientiously keep the commandments of God. But the watchful piety of God's children will not be frightened from its purpose by the proud, presumptuous noise and shouting of evildoers. By faith, they see a crown of life awaiting those who are victorious, and they press forward toward the mark of the prize of their high calling in Christ Jesus. The church militant is not, in this world, the church triumphant, but all who will remember the words of Christ, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world," will be patient under provocation. They will say to their adversaries, "Hinder me not. I must be a partaker with Christ in His sufferings, that I may be a partaker also with Him in His glory." The commissioned messengers of Christ possess the meekness and lowliness of Christ. They love the work in which they are engaged, and they turn from every idol to serve the living God. Angels are sent to minister to those who shall be heirs of salvation. Could the eyes of God's children be opened, they would see from how many evils they have been saved, from how many perils they have escaped. "Lo, I am with you alway," Christ says, "even unto the end of the world." Verse 20. You may be taken by councils and accused and condemned by the men chosen to administer justice, but who are themselves trampling underfoot the highest of all laws, even the law of Jehovah. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. John 16, verse 33. The messenger who bears the word of life to a perishing world is bound to speak the truth. The Lord Jesus is by his side, ready to enlarge the narrow confines of human knowledge, that all may see that the teacher who is the mouthpiece of God is presenting the gift of imperishable wealth to all who shall believe on Christ. There is power in Christ to redeem the mental and moral character and mold the man after his likeness. Christ came to quicken the understanding, that men might discern truth. The truths which God had given were lost or obscured. Through the lapse of time, they had become disconnected from their true place in the grand economy of truth. Christ replaced and established them anew. True, righteous principles, which had apparently been displaced by false principles, He now established and vindicated, and commanded that they stand forever. Christ laid out a work before His disciples. They were to preach the Word. Not in their own strength were they to do this. Christ came to reveal the truth. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. John 1, verse 14. In His power, the disciples were to carry forward the work. The Lord has more and still more grace and love and assurance to communicate to those who preach the gospel to sinners. A work is to be done for and in the churches. They are not merely to be preached to. They are to be educated to receive Christ as their personal Savior. The hearts of the members are to be so softened and humbled and teachable that they will receive with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save their souls. All heaven is waiting for men to take up their God-given responsibilities and cooperate with heavenly intelligences in voicing the lessons given by Christ to His disciples when He was with them in humanity. The commission Christ gave to His disciples was the gospel, and to those today who have the light of truth is the commission given. Go, work today in My vineyard. Matthew 21, verse 28. At all times and in all places, service for God is to be done. The call is to be given in the highways and in the hedges. Come, for all things are now ready. All who go forth as Christ has told them to, with a sense of responsibility for the souls to be saved, nigh and afar off, will have an increasing solicitude to win souls to Christ, and they will be blessed in their work. There are many who desire the truth. After hearing the truth from the Lord's messengers, they receive the Word. Through diligent searching, they understand their Bibles as never before, for the gospel has been preached to them in its simplicity and fullness. All heaven is full of joy when souls hunger and thirst after righteousness, confessing their sins, and through faith receiving remission of sins from Christ. There is a majesty in the truth. Those who possess that faith that works by love and purifies the soul have a message plain and decided to bear to those who know not the truth. They have an important work entrusted to them. They are to live close to the One who has said, "Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world." Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Matthew 28, verse 19, 20. Ministry does not consist alone in preaching, but in relieving the sick and suffering, helping the needy, speaking words of comfort to the desponding and those of little faith. Those that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak until they become strong. Nigh and afar off, souls are weighed down by a sense of guilt. It is not hardship or toil or poverty that lowers and degrades humanity. It is guilt, wrongdoing, unrest, and dissatisfaction. The Lord has debarred no one from ministering to others. These signs shall follow them that believe. In My name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Mark 16, verse 17, 18. This is the privilege of God's children. And faith should lay hold of all that it is possible to have as an endorsement of faith. These signs shall follow them that believe. Verse 17. Why do we not present the sick and suffering before God in the arms of our faith? Why do we not teach them to believe in the great healer? Why do we not lay hold on the promises, bringing the sick to God, and praying for relief, for the healing power of God to be revealed? Plead the promise, "Thou hast said, these signs shall follow them that believe." These promises are just as fresh and strong and trustworthy now as they were in the days of the apostles. Some have carried the matter of faith healing to an extreme, and this has greatly hurt the subject. But the need of faith in God should be revived and kept before the church. The realization of our privileges has become almost extinct. Let this part of the commission be revived and brought into our practical life. It is of as great force as the preaching of the word. These signs shall follow them that believe on Christ as a risen Savior, who proclaimed over the rent sepulcher of Joseph, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11, verse 25. But if the workers neglect to link themselves in divine connection with God, the electric current of reviving, life-giving spiritual energy cannot flow in full, rich streams to the people. The church needs to be awakened. When Christ was on this earth, trying to reclaim souls, to restore the moral image of God in man by warnings, entreaties, appeals, by a perfect example of obedience to his Father's will, he said that in some of the places he visited, he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. This is the reason why we do not now see more of the deep moving of the Spirit of God upon human minds, more of His power manifested in healing the sick. Unbelief is the barrier between us and God. How sad it is that God is disappointed and robbed of His weight of glory because those who minister the Word do not realize their privileges and fail to increase in faith and hope and charity. Bring your sick to God in faith. Humble your hearts before Him, confessing your sins. Then pray earnestly, trustingly. You will see the practical working of God's power, and it will be said, God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things which are. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27-28. Much more of God's light and love and grace should be seen in our churches. Then we should see souls taking the impress of the image of Christ. Those who keep the love of Christ glowing in the heart will provoke others unto good works. A hundredfold will be rendered to God in praise and gratitude, in willing, cheerful obedience. The hearts of God's children will be full of praise and thanksgiving to Him who has given His life for the life of the world. Within one step of His Father's throne, Christ gave the promise, Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28, verse 20. We need more of Christ's wisdom. If we only believed, there would be less need for council meetings and committee meetings. If we prayed in faith and took God at His word, He would work for us. Faith has every encouragement, for it has an eternal source. Our faith in eternal realities is weak. We have a heavy charge against us in the books of heaven for neglecting to do our utmost for the salvation of those nigh and afar off. God will not honor such weak faith, such manifest unbelief. Why do we not lay hold on the promises of God, presenting them before Him in living faith? We must no longer remain indifferent. Every day we are losing our grasp on eternal realities. While we have a voice and pen, let us awake to our duty. Let us not sleep as do others. Let us devote every entrusted power and endowment without reserve to the service of God, who has given Jesus to be our righteousness and our efficiency. We are not to be presumptuous. We are not to trust in our own merits, but rely upon the One who has promised to help us. The great Apostle Paul, to whom Christ revealed Himself, spoke from a heart full of love, because in Ephesus there were souls who had accepted Christ as their Savior. Grace be to you and peace, from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children be Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Ephesians 1, verse 2 to 7. This is the message God has commissioned His servants to bear. The Holy Spirit fills the mind with faith in Christ's mercy and love. He teaches the sinner that the Savior blots out his transgression and sins, inserting his name in the book of life, and presenting him with the robe of his own righteousness. He carries his mind to the heavenly mansions Christ has gone to prepare for all who love him. He places the cross before him as the only means that could be devised for the redemption of a fallen world. He points him to the crown of glory awaiting all who are won from the side of the great apostate to loyalty to God. Those who are willing to partake of Christ's sufferings will share His glory. The realization of the absolute necessity of regeneration through the Holy Spirit comes to all who are seeking, by patient continuance, for glory, honor, immortality. The Lord Jesus, the one altogether lovely, seeks to engage the attention and receive the first glance of the repentant sinner, that he may read the expression of love in the Savior's face and receive him as his. Christ would turn men's minds from every sound that emanates from him who abode not in the truth. He has knowledge to impart, the absolute necessity of regeneration by the Holy Spirit, who comes to the believing soul under the great seal of solemn assurance. "I speak to you," he said, "I, who speak not merely as a man, I, who am the truth, I, who am acquainted with heaven and all the characters that shall be therein admitted, I, who hold the keys of the kingdom of heaven, I say, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." The Lord says to those living in 1897, as He said to those of Israel who had chosen to serve Him, "I will give them a heart to know Me, that I am the Lord." Jeremiah 24, verse 7. The Lord has given us Jesus, our Savior, to reveal the character in humanity that He wishes each of us to reveal. The Lord's purpose concerning His people is, "I have given them minds, I will increase My grace unto them." Will those who have backslidden return? Return unto the Lord, return. Let there be no delay. In that day shall it be said to Jerusalem, "Fear thou not," and to Zion, "Let not thine hands be slack." The Lord God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. He will joy over thee with singing. Zephaniah 3, verse 16, 17. "And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all His commandments which I command thee this day. And the Lord will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as He rejoiced over thy fathers, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep His commandments and His statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. For this is the commandment which I command thee this day. It is not hidden from thee, neither is it afar off. It is not in heaven that thou shouldest say, 'Who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear and do it?' Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, 'Who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it?' But the word is very night unto thee, in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it." Deuteronomy 30, verse 8 to 14. When the prodigal son came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my fathers have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him." Luke 15, verse 17 to 20. Jesus Christ is our surety. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sins of the world. John 1, verse 29. Christ our Passover has been sacrificed for us. Every drop of blood shed as the sacrifices were offered pointed to the Lamb of God. All the typical offerings were fulfilled in Him. Type met antitype when He died on the cross. He came to make it possible to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He is our substitute and surety. He paid the ransom for our redemption. We are bought with a price, and Christ calls upon us to let Him take our sins and impute to us His righteousness. People are suffering for want of the knowledge of truth. They do not understand what they must do to be saved. Unless the gospel is preached clearly, simply, over and over again, line upon line, precept upon precept, Satan will cast his shadow between the sinner and God. God will be represented as a stern, unforgiving judge. Christ did not sermonize. He gave instruction as a divine teacher. He taught in simplicity, and thus His ambassadors are to present the truth, making everything connected with the salvation of the soul plain and easy to be understood. The message must be given to the world that the way of repentance and faith is now made plain, through Him who had power to lay down His life and to take it again. "He that believeth on Me," Christ declared, "though he were dead, yet shall he live." John 11, verse 25. The conflict between good and evil will continue till the close of time. Satan, the first great rebel, inspires his followers with hatred against God. His warfare is not carried on in subordination to established law, but in positive disobedience to the God of heaven. He works with malice to destroy souls, but eternal vigilance, laying hold of the promises of God, will raise up a standard against the enemy for the tempted soul. Suffering, want, despondency, misery, unbelief. The ministers of God will meet every day. Their work is not a work of self-pleasing or self-indulgence. Many, many souls are unsaved. Fasten yourselves by faith to the Lord Jesus, and tell sinners that the Savior is calling for them. Entreat them to tarry not, for He is calling, "Come," for all things are now ready. Luke 14, verse 17. These are days of peril for souls. Be instant in season and out of season. Be always ready, saying, "Speak, Lord, for Thy servant heareth." What precious blessings the Lord longs to give to the self-denying, self-sacrificing worker. God would have His servants at their post of duty, their loins girt about with truth. Gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end, watching, waiting, praying, and working. The Apostle Paul in his epistle to the Corinthians lifts a voice of warning. "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God." They live in an atmosphere of sin. Therefore, sin is not to them exceeding sinful. "I speak this to your shame." 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33-34. Paul writes to the Ephesians that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in Him, in whom we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Ephesians 1, verse 10-14. Christ's commission is every to be kept before the church. Sinners must be saved by the light reflected from the church by the ministry of the Word. Through God's obedient, loyal, commandment-keeping people, sinners are to behold the Son of Righteousness. Ministers and people are to catch the light of God's purposes, hidden from the world because it cannot see the Son of Righteousness. "Ye are the light of the world," Christ said to His disciples. Matthew 5, verse 14. As light-bearers, You are to reflect the rays of the Sun of Righteousness to the world. Ye are a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. God's people should now receive the light and diffuse it. They need not try to shine, but they will shine if their hearts and minds are enlightened by the Sun of Righteousness. The brightness will appear, for every true disciple is bound to make Christ appear to the world as the sin-pardoning Savior. The Church is to exhibit to the world the forbearance of God, His holiness, meekness, mercy, and truth. They are to shine brighter and brighter, catching more and more of the bright beams from the Redeemer's face. They are to receive more and still more light, and reflect it to the world. God has appointed every member of the Church to represent the truth in character. He has given human beings capabilities and faculties, and has endowed them with power to improve. Everything, the voice, the affections, property, influence, all are entrusted to man to be rendered back to God. Quicken your powers by appropriating His grace to yourselves and communicating it to others. As we put our talents to use, our moral power to work increases. Just in accordance with the power and grace received will be the grace we have to use. Work we must while the day lasts. Pure doctrines have been lost, and as the result, error has taken the field where only truth should be. God's requirements are lost sight of. All that possibly can be done should be done to scatter the moral darkness. Passion and human wisdom are arrayed against purity and holiness, against self-denial, and against the law which governs heaven and earth. Man's will and purpose, dictated by the wisdom of Satan, is to deny the requirements of God. He would have human laws take the place of the divine. The will of the finite creature has been arrayed against the will of the infinite God. This has brought in and developed the man of sin, who has exalted himself against God, sitting in the temple of God and showing himself to be God. He has trampled underfoot God's great memorial, established to commemorate the work of creation, and has presented to the world in its stead a common working day. This has been set up as a rival Sabbath to be sacredly observed and worshipped. This has set the world against their God, for the Lord declares that He has sanctified the day of His rest. Exodus 31, verse 13 to 17. Marked and decided hostility is shown to God. The will of man is brought into direct collision with the will of God. Man is working in direct hostility to the Lord God of heaven. The judgment of the creature is set above that of the Creator. But though every member of the human family should accept the child of the papacy and exalt it to the throne, in no case would this invalidate the holy Sabbath of Jehovah. Everyone that accepts the rival Sabbath in the place of the true exalts the man of sin. The divine government of God is thus assailed by human power. But the man of sin cannot annul that which God has said shall stand fast forever. The work now to be done in our world is to exalt the law of the Lord and call the attention of the people to it, because the world has accepted the falsehood of Satan. The time has come when the truth is to be proclaimed against falsehood and error. And after these things, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lighted with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come on her in one day, death, and mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God which judgeth her. Revelation 18, verse 1 to 8. The Lord has a special work for His church. The crisis is right upon us. We have only, as it were, a moment of time. We must now take our Bibles and by the Holy Spirit's power proclaim the great truth for these last days. It will not be long before everyone will have heard the warning and made his decision. Then shall the end come. And there followed another angel, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb. Revelation 14, verse 8 to 10.